This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Welcome to the world's greatest college weekend. Isn't that right, Dr. Piller?
Yeah, how about that? Do you have your helmet on?
No.
Oh, all right.
Nothing fits over this big melon.
But you have your little bell on your bike, don't you, that you have parked outside?
You know what? I don't.
Bling, 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 bling. There's an app for that, folks. It's that time of year. It's Little Five weekend. So women's race probably going on as we speak, if I'm not mistaken. And then the men's race tomorrow.
2 o'clock.
It's going to be dicey as far as the weather goes. So they'll probably ride in the rain, but not in the thunder or the lightning. So
Chuck was on this morning with Glass Friday morning and talking about things. There are several other IU athletic activities going on this weekend, but you know, a lot of people are coming down for a Little Five, and it's a shame that the weather is not complying like they would like.
All right. I hope I don't lose credibility, but are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Never been.
You and me both.
Okay, so it's not as bad as the Star Wars thing that you're still hung up on.
No, but that's we won't talk about
it. I'm surprised we still talk.
I know. I don't even know
you
anymore.
No, I've never been, and there's a couple reasons. I think number one is that it was a good travel weekend when I was in school, and then I think once you're not in school anymore, if you probably didn't partake when you were in school, you probably see it as chaos, and it's just a rough weekend to be out. It's you know, not one of the safer weekends, quite honestly, either. I think probably statistically speaking, I'm not making a general statement that's meant to offend, but it's statistically speaking, I think you probably have a substantial number of arrests and such this weekend, and probably some people participating in some reckless behavior. So for all of our friends out there and all of our listeners, be safe, be careful. If that goes to the men and women in blue as well, everyone just be safe and have a good weekend. And a little bit of rain doesn't hurt to calm things down and keep things under control.
It's light wrap weather coming up,
you know,
as we'll talk about
it. It is light
wrap
weather, Jim, and you're right, but it's also rain. So the rain kind of sometimes determines whether you can get away with a light wrap.
Growing up, my father was a police officer here for many, many years, and he didn't have to work Little Five, but because it's collaborative effort, he was always working in town on Little Five weekend, and that's why I never went growing up or anything like that. It was just because, and if you read the Friday edition of the Herald Times, there was an article that highlighted some of the past headlines, if you will, from the 80s and 90s about the craziness of Little Five, and I think it's calmed down for the most part, but it's still.
And we do a good job on campus kind of keeping things under control, and I think we've probably seen a shift in people making responsible decisions, so that's good.
Yeah.
One of the highlights, again, if you're up, is Sunday morning to drive by the Justice Building and watch people publicly reflecting on their choices.
Yes.
And so it's an interesting setting and setup for how the folks are, again, allowed to reflect.
One of the wise individuals here in Bloomington wrote a thing on Facebook that the smell of stale beer and regret is beginning to descend on the area.
That's the one.
But whatever, you know, as you said, be safe.
Just watch for the, I think it's a templated story that DHT runs either on Sunday morning or Monday morning about Little Five, what they call it, pretrial diversion court.
Yes.
So we'll see if it's our friend Judge Dekoff is going to do the processing this year, who drew the straw that gets to partake in that Sunday morning activity.
If you look at a photo from 25, 30 years ago, you'd probably see the same arrangement of people, but with bigger
hair and more bell bottoms.
Exactly.
Some things never change. Which is good.
That's what it is. Welcome to Bloomington.
That's right.
Mr. Piller, Dr. Piller and I are flying solo tonight, just the two of us, and we've got a variety of things to talk about. Big news this week on a variety of things. The city's fiber plan, annexation rule.
Third Street falling apart. Pacers falling apart worse than Third Street.
Did you hear Joe on Friday morning?
I didn't hear Joe this morning.
70-40 in the second half being outscored.
It's the all-time biggest halftime lead ever.
70-40.
Yeah, it was.
That's rough.
It was bad.
Yes.
But you know what's good is WGCL this evening. I think if I'm you, the listener, our friends out there that are listening to us live tonight on Friday.
Yes.
What I would do if I were you is go ahead and have a little dinner, get yourself something to drink, and sit back with the radio on, because for the next 4 hours, you're going to be entertained. First by myself and the Minister of Culture, Jim Inman, and then after that, you've got 2.5 to 4 hours of Cincinnati Reds baseball on the radio. They just happen to be playing the Cubs tonight, so I think I'll be tuned in, as a matter of fact. But
with your hat.
Absolutely. Marty Brenneman will have the call in the pregame at 7 o'clock, and first pitch, I believe, is 7:10 with the Cubbies visiting the Reds for the first place. I mean, the Reds are in first place by a half game. Cubs are right on their tails, and three-game set down on the river when the Reds take on the Cubs. But WGCL has that for you tonight. So stay tuned, and it'll be a good one.
And for those of you who came out Wednesday evening to the big Chamber Primetime Barbecue Cook-Off event, thank you very much. Didn't see as many people as I was hoped face-to-face, because we had probably 600 to 700 people out of the fairgrounds. Awesome barbecue cook-off, great business exchange, 90-plus local businesses, restaurants, just all kinds of good stuff at the fairgrounds.
Non-for-profits were
also
there. So
very, very much.
The Hall of Fame guys were there and ladies.
Yep. And
so that's fun.
Just a very good time. And we had perfect weather for it. We moved it from July to April from last year to this year, and the hopes of having, you know, high 60s, low 70s. We hit the 80s, which wasn't so terribly bad. So all in all, a not too bad week. We're going to take a break. When we come back, forecast for the weekend. We'll get you fixed up on sports and everything. And local news, there's plenty to talk about as well on the IU side of things, not just Little 500, but much more with that. So Dr. Piller and I, Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, and, of course, WGCLRadio.com. We will be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Emmon, Dr. David Piller here with you, and a wet and a little nippy forecast.
Yep, tonight 50% chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 43. I might have to get the blankets back out. Saturday, showers likely mainly before 2 p.m., cloudy with a high near 52. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers, mainly before 8, mostly cloudy, low around 42. And then Sunday, mostly sunny, high in the mid to upper 60s. So it should be a beautiful day on Sunday, so get out and enjoy it early next week. Mostly sunny with a chance of rain midweek. But as always, all your weather all the time, WGCLRadio.com.
Big news out of the HT and out of Indianapolis on a Friday afternoon is action at the Indiana legislature could stop the city of Bloomington's annexation plan. The city has received notice that a proposed amendment to the state biennial budget bill would end Mayor John Hamilton's plan to annex about 9,500 acres into the city's jurisdiction. City's Director of Communications, Mary Catherine Carmichael, called the language super specific to Bloomington and that the city staff would find no other jurisdiction that would be affected by the proposed language. In short, Carmichael said to the HT on Friday by phone, they are carving out Bloomington. So here's what's in the proposed amendment. It's expected to be introduced today. If parcels in areas intended for annexation are unincorporated after January 1st of 2017, any annexation ordinance introduced after December 31st, 2016, and before July 1st of this year is terminated and instructs that a municipality cannot restart the process to annex property again until after June 30th, 2020. It kills the city's annexation proposal, which was introduced this year and if approved would take effect January 1st, 2020. The Hamilton administration is against the proposed amendment, but state lawmaker and local resident Jeff Ellington supports it, saying he's heard repeated concerns throughout the legislative session from community leaders and residents about Bloomington's annexation proposal. And in response, Ellington said he has been vocal with his peers at the State House about the need for action. He feels the proposed amendment gives more voice back to the residents, and quoted in the HT, there's still voluntary annexation during this time frame. This change only affects involuntary annexation. This sends a message statewide that if you're going to do annexation, you need to take into account people's thought processes of being annexed by a city or town. The next step from the city at the local level, is a formal public hearing at the end of May at Bloomington High School South. More on that next week, but it should be coming very soon.
What do you think, Jim? I mean, this is another one that I think it's a typical topic that you hear a lot of people speaking out against.
Right.
Yet I've not heard anyone say, hey, this is a great idea.
Well, and I think the big thing is what they put in the HT article about this is carving Bloomington out. Mm-hmm. So is there someone or something that is pushing behind that? Perhaps. I don't know. I've heard pros and cons on both sides of this. Marty Hawk speaks about it every Wednesday here with Glass and Margaret.
Right.
It's definitely getting a lot of attention. A lot of businesses would be impacted by this. So we will have to wait and see if this is voted out, voted in this amendment, not the annexation part.
Right.
But the state stepping in is a little bit concerning on the local level, but it is what it is. Welcome to government. I don't think this is 100 level. I think this is more the 300 to 400 level.
300 level, at least. Mm-hmm. At least. I don't know if this is an intro class. But,
no, this is sophomore or junior year, at least.
Well, first time through or second time
through? Depends on your perspective, Dr. Piller.
Hey, let's talk about internet. Let's talk about the city's plan. Bloomington's high-speed broadband future is in the air after the city announced its partnership with Canada-based fiber infrastructure investor Axia has dissolved. The break in the partnership came Thursday afternoon, and Mayor John Hamilton said he thinks there is disappointment on both sides. The negotiations made clear that Axia, as the operating company, was very bullish on Bloomington, on their model and their match, Hamilton said, but their private equity partners, which joined in the last year or so to support the U.S. expansion, could not pull the trigger to invest the tens of millions of dollars that Axia felt were appropriate to invest. Axia CEO Art Price said in a Thursday telephone interview that the proposed Bloomington model didn't fit its parent company's return risk reward profile, and that projects of this kind have to raise stakeholders' capital. Partners Group is a global private markets investment manager that acquired Axia Net Media in March of 2016. In December 2016, city officials and Axia executives announced the partnership and signed a letter of intent to develop a citywide open gigabit class fiber optic broadband service across Bloomington. Axia was scheduled to provide its engineering feasibility report by Friday, today, after the city granted a three-week extension of the original deadline. Price said the results of that report will be made available to Hamilton and the city. In addition, providers who weren't picked to be the supplier but were still considered front runners were notified back in December and told that just because their companies weren't selected didn't necessarily mean they were out of the running. Jim, we call that foreshadowing, I believe.
Yes.
Even though the partnership is over between Axia and the city of Bloomington, Hamilton said the process yielded valuable information and led to more discussion of fiber in the community. Smithville Fiber declined to comment on the announcement, and representatives from AT&T did not respond to a request for comment before the print edition deadline of the HT. Comcast, however, emailed a statement expressing its willingness to consider Bloomington's technological advancement. Since the city's official announcement of its intention to partner with Axia, Hamilton said providers such as AT&T, Comcast, and Smithville have marketed the launch of new or expanded fiber service, which he said is good for the city and its residents. So,
I guess
that means that we're going to stick to what we have, I guess, for right now, Jim.
And we've seen, as you mentioned, in recent conversations here on the show, about the uptick from Comcast and UVerse, I think it was one, and I think there was even a third also. Well, Smithville, different levels of internet that they're providing to the community. So
that's good. I mean, it was a push. It was a classic example of competition in the marketplace benefiting the consumer. I think. You know, there's something to that. It's mm-hmm. a good thing.
And before we take a next break, residents can legally use electronic nicotine delivery systems. That's a fancy way of saying e-cigs. But you can't use them in public places or places of employment where smoking is already prohibited in Bloomington. That was the City Council's decision on Wednesday night when they voted 7-0-1 to regulate e-cigarette products similarly to cigars and cigarettes, such as requiring users of these products to step outside or remain within designated areas. However, council members repeatedly stressed this does not stop people from using the products altogether. In fact, council member Dave Rollo said it's not about banning vaping, it's about limiting exposure to non-vapers. This was the second local attempt in recent months to regulate the device's usage in public. Earlier this year, Monroe County Board of Health argued for the addition of electronic nicotine delivery systems, say that five times fast, to the county's smoking ordinance to protect public health. For City Council member Steve Volan, understanding the research presented by both supporters and opponents of e-cig regulations was crucial before voting on Wednesday this week. He said that is why he proposed postponing a vote until May 3rd to allow more time to properly digest the research sent to him and other council members on the matter. Rollo, however, said the question before the council is not about the pros and cons of vaping, such as whether or not it helps people quit smoking or provides a gateway for youth into tobacco use, etc. Instead, it's about the exposure to the aerosol and bystanders affected, whether they are in proximity to a vapor, which is problematic for individuals with allergies or compromised respiratory systems. So, if you vape, you can't vape around anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere that you want to anymore, at least in Bloomington and Monroe County.
There you go.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back more with some local news. We'll get into some sports action as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Ah, the joys of radio, Dr. Piller.
Why? So people don't have to see me?
No, not at all. Oh. Just
the joys
Friday
of radio
night.
Again on Friday night is to stay with us for about the next 3.5 hours because we've got Cubs and Reds.
I thought you were going to say we're going to do a telethon.
Reds. Yeah, we could. Reds, I don't think we have a phone in here. Do we have one that works?
Cell phones.
Oh, okay. Well, Jim's number, get your pens out, everybody. Jim's number is 812.
For a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, just go to the office lounge. It'll be on the wall somewhere. That's all you have to do to get it.
We're getting punchy on a Friday afternoon.
We are. It's Reds and Cubs at the top of the hour. Marty Brenneman, Cowboy Jeff Brantley, amongst others. We'll have the call. So I know Julie Curry's tuned in. I know Dave Duff's tuned in. And so the Reds and the Cubs will be doing battle here on your radio tonight. So stay tuned and catch that. But until then, Jim, we've got drama on 3rd and Lincoln. The closure of the intersection of 3rd and Lincoln Streets is due to a deteriorating culvert beneath the roadway. How about that? City of Bloomington Utilities Director Vic Kelson said an inspection late last week revealed that the reinforcing steel that holds the roof of the culvert upon which the roadway sits was badly compromised by age and deterioration, much like me. As a result, a structural engineer recommended the city take prompt action to address the issue, and it led to the closure of the intersection to traffic on Thursday. That's yesterday. The estimated cost of repairs is $224,000. Or last Thursday, I apologize. Kelson said crews are hopeful to have the East 3rd Street opened, and it is opened as of now, but South Lincoln between 3rd and 4th is still closed and will likely remain closed for another up to 2 weeks.
Yep.
So it's not that giant of an inconvenience, but it is where the fire station is over there. It's by the old post office, the downtown post office that's now gone. So keep that in mind. That area of Lincoln is closed, but 3rd Street is open. So that is a good thing, but it makes you nervous when you see one of these because you're like, oh, if there's one, there may be others close behind.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a sad day in the not-too-distant future as a variety of incidents have accelerated plans to tear down the former Wee Willie's restaurant on Bloomington's south side. Dave Williams, Bloomington Parks and Rec Department Operations and Development Director, was quoted in the HT this week. Our plans have been to wait for the demolition of that facility until the Switchyard Park construction project began, which we anticipate to be a little over a year from now. But we're having problems. Break-in attempts and some other things have pushed things forward there. The former Wee Willie's property, as we've shared before, will be part of the east side entrance to the proposed city park. More than a $25.5 million project that will develop 57 acres of the former McDowell Railroad switchyard there on the south side of Bloomington. Expected date for the park is 2020. Demolition of the old restaurant, which closed April 2015, was approved Monday by the Bloomington Redevelopment Commission, and Mick Renheisen, Lieutenant Mayor here in Bloomington, was on with Glass earlier this week, and it'll be done by the end of the month.
Oh, wow.
And I'm kind of figuring out if there's a way to go in and get a bar stool or something like that, because
legally,
so
no, Jim,
many Saturday
not.
Mornings David Hayes and I spent getting ready for Your Money with David Hayes, and I feel like I paid for at least one of those chairs or
you did.
Something.
It came through the coffee burn jab on your arm from 80.
Man,
I guess it.
Man, I miss
good
miss
play. Jim, just come over to the Ville. We got a Wee Willie's right there in Ellettsville on Union Valley. It is. Don't say it's not the same because it is. It's outstanding.
Okay.
It's outstanding.
Okay.
The food there is great. Best breakfast. Best breakfasts in Bloomington. So
okay.
Check that out.
Yep.
Hey, Jim, just in time for a little 5 weekend, a new Indiana University policy will grant immunity to athletes who intervene in potentially life-threatening situations involving underage drinking. One of three new policies approved by the university's Faculty Athletics Committee on April 12th. IU's Lifeline rule encourages Hoosier athletes to provide assistance without fear of punishment from their respective coaches and administrators. The committee concurrently approved a policy that will prohibit university's athletic programs from accepting athletes with records of sexual assault or domestic violence, and also addressed for policies regarding fan behavior. In addressing the Lifeline rule, Jeremy Gray, IU's Senior Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications and Fan Experience, said, "It's a step towards ensuring IU athletes are not punished for acting in good faith. It grants immunity for doing the right thing to make sure teammates and fellow student athletes are getting home safely. Under IU's policy, both the person who reasonably appeared to be in need of an emergency medical assistance and the person who requested or worked in concert with the person who requested the emergency medical assistance will not have any penalties, punishments, or sanctions levied against them by the athletic department or their individual team, specifically including that any students so involved may not be removed from the team or have their scholarship adversely impacted as a result of the incident. I use Lifeline policies consistent with Indiana state law that provides immunity from arrest or prosecution for certain alcohol offenses if the arrest or prosecution is related to the person reporting a medical emergency, being a victim of a sex offense, or witnessing and reporting what he believes to be a crime. The state Lifeline law grants immunity for the crimes of public intoxication, minor in possession, and minor in consumption, among others. IU's sexual assault policy outlines that any prospective student-athlete, whether a transfer student, incoming freshman, or other status, who has been convicted of or pled guilty or no contest to a felony involving sexual violence will not be allowed to practice or compete for IU. The policy defines sexual assault as dating violence, domestic violence, rape, sexual assault, or sexual violence as outlined by the Indiana University Policy on Sexual Misconduct. And finally, a policy for sportsmanship guidelines was also adopted last week outlining expectations for fans at IU sporting events. It includes rules against profane or abusive language, unruly behavior by intoxicated individuals, and a request that fans sit only in seats for which they hold tickets, amongst other expectations. So probably a good idea. And then the fan thing, IU already does a decent job with that. But the fact of the matter is, you see it everywhere you go, whether it's a concert, whether it's a pro game, a college game, or something in between. Very, very rarely do you see truly unruly people removed.
Right.
Because they're paying customers, and oftentimes event organizers don't want to ostracize paying customers, and they probably tolerate behavior that they otherwise shouldn't. But good for IU for putting it on paper, because if nothing else, now they can get rid of some people who behave like idiots, and it's there.
And finally, on the news side of things this week, the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation State of the Bloomington Regional Economy Lunch showed how small numbers can add up to the success or failure of a region's economy. Presentations from regional economic leaders on Wednesday this week spoke to the specifics of what drives South Central Indiana's economy, detailing metrics ranging from opioid addiction to the number of students completing industry-specific educational programming. Each data point spoke to a greater economic ripple felt across the nation's, across the region's main industry sectors. Tina Peterson, the CEO of Regional Opportunities Initiatives, or ROI, is quoted in the HT this week. In the work we do, there's nothing more important than looking at the regional perspective. Broadly, we've learned this region is the land of opportunity. We just need education to be aligned and relevant. There are about 8,400 regional and 1,400 Monroe County jobs in the national security and defense sector, according to Peterson, with an expected growth of 650 jobs in that sector per year. Regionally, there are about 6,000 jobs in the life sciences sector, with nearly 4,400 of those jobs right here in Monroe County. Peterson said the life sciences sector is expected to grow by 700 jobs per year, and she stressed that those jobs in both of those sectors will need to be filled by workers with a higher degree of specialized education. Also speaking at the BEDC meeting, Mark Brown, he's the Senior Vice President of the Indiana Association of Realtors, and he detailed the region's housing market, and without drawing specific conclusions, he noted the number of homes sold in Indiana and Monroe County in 2016 broke records despite the lagging U.S. gross domestic product. Lynn Coyne, who is the president of the BEDC, spoke about the two economies of Bloomington, the student economy and the employment-based economy. Now, this is the question that always gets asked. What is the population of Monroe County?
No idea. Do the students count? Do the students not count? When does the census take? Yep. Are they here?
Well, according to Mr. Coyne, a friend of mine, and again with the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation, Monroe County's population in 2016 was nearly 145,500 individuals.
145,000 in Monroe County.
In Monroe County. Okay. Showing how the city's approximately 84,000 residents make up a workforce that's more than just the IU students, 43,000. So 43,000 IU students, city residents, 84,000. Then you count those in the county and that. To give you a little bit of comparison, listeners, Bedford's resident workforce pool, 13,000 people. Martinsville, 12,000 people. Now, one thing about all of these jobs that the article mentions is that filling these jobs comes with some rough statistics. For every American man between the age of 25 and 55, that is you and I, Dr. Piller.
Yes.
Who is listed as unemployed, that's not you and I, Dr. Piller, three more aren't looking for work and are not included in unemployment statistics. This is one of those numbers games that they play. And I'm not saying the BEDC, but just in statistics in general about who is unemployed, who's eligible to be unemployed, and things like that. The big employers in Bloomington, Monroe County, of course, IU number one with 9,700 employees, Cook Group with 4,500, IU Health Bloomington Hospital with 2,200, MCCSC with 2,051, and rounding out the top five, this kind of surprised me, Kroger. Kroger has 840 employees.
Well, I mean, guys, that Eastside Kroger is probably bigger than a lot
yes.
of places.
And you have multiple locations, right. And you count the teenagers who are bagging three nights a week kind of thing and whatnot, so they're
seriously,
unemployed.
That Eastside Kroger is probably as big as Rhode Island. I mean, you get in there, and it's 45 minutes to get from one end of the store to the other. You stop and run into people that you talk right. to, hit up the free samples over by the cheese. And
by the time you're through, your cart is empty because you've had to get nourishment to sustain to get on the other side of the building.
That's correct. And you just end up paying for empty canisters and cans.
My friend Jackie works out there, and Jackie's a wonderful lady, and they do a very nice job out there. It's all in fun.
I love it. I mean, they got live music on Saturdays, Jim. Seriously.
Ice sculptures at one point.
Grilled cheese, face painting.
What more could you ask for?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more. Stay with us. Since Dr. Piller and I are flying solo this evening, I'm going to ask Dr. Piller a very deep and personal question.
Ooh.
Your favorite concerts you've ever been to, sir?
Man, I wish I would have had more time. you know, I've been to so many. I guess I've probably been to 40 or 50, which probably isn't so many. But,
right.
I mean, there's a lot that I like for a lot of different reasons. I mean, 3.5 hours of just straight rocking out was Metallica.
And how old were you last week?
Who did I just see? I saw, oh, my gosh. I went and saw.
It was that good.
Oh, Bon Jovi. I was at Bon Jovi last month.
Okay. And yes, you did mention that.
But I've seen all those. I've seen Motley Crue and Poison and Cheap Trick and Def Leppard and Metallica and Journey. I mean, I've seen all those. Michael Bublé was outstanding.
Really?
As far as a show goes. Aerosmith was my first. And I would say my best, Foo Fighters was really, really, really good. I mean, I've seen Dave Matthews a handful of times. I've seen John Mayer a handful of times. They're both great. I mean, just great shows.
Yeah.
But I'm looking to knock Foo Fighters out. I'm going to get a bucket lister, Jim, and that's going to be the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Are going to be at Bankers Life May 18th, which is conveniently located right around my birthday. Should anyone like to send gifts, send them here to the station in care of Jim, and he'll get them to me. But anyway... Yeah, I think that, and then U2 is in Chicago and Pittsburgh in early June, and I don't know if I can make that happen, but that would be another band. I would say the Chili Peppers and U2 would be the two bands I've not seen that I'd most like to see.
Mm-hmm.
But saw Green Day was excellent. Garth Brooks was excellent. I've seen so many Brooks and Dunn back in the 90s. Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
They were so good. I saw Kenny Chesney at the Little Nashville Opera.
I was gonna say
Kenny G. I have not seen Kenny G. But have seen Kenny Chesney at the Little Nashville Opry, and that was an amazing show. I mean, thinking about where he is now and thinking about that show, which would have been the summer of... 2000, 99 or 2000, I think, probably. Mm-hmm. I would say 2000 would be my guess. But good ones. How about you? First concert and favorite concert, Jim?
Very first concert ever was as a child with my parents and... my dad's cousin and his wife, we went to see Barbara Mandrell at Assembly Hall.
There you go.
Back in the I Was Country when country wasn't cool, sleeping mm-hmm. single in a double bed. Yeah, and she had a television show with her sisters at the time in the early 80s.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was probably 7 or 8 years old and just thought that was like...
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. Best concert, though, would have been in December 1999, the old Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis, 12th row center for Billy Joel's retirement tour.
Yeah.
And
Garth Brooks got me on that too, Jim.
Well,
those retirement tours don't last long when
I know.
People start sending checks.
The thing is, Billy Joel's coming to Wrigley Field
yes,
and performing,
he is.
And I would like to go see him, and I've thought the world of Billy Joel for 30 years, but Billy Joel is starting to age a little bit, and I don't want to pay the ticket price mm-hmm. and everything to hear him not be able to really... be who he once was.
You know,
was.
And that's why I think I ultimately decided on Bon Jovi this time through. And it was it was a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like, you know, gosh, last time I saw Def Leppard, which was 2000. 2009, maybe. Yeah, 2008, 2009. My gosh, Joe Elliott was about done then. I can't even imagine
DEAF
touring again now, and it's like, oh boy, what'll that be?
Right.
But we decided, you know, just that we might have a new segment on the show.
Yes.
These have to go through official boards, but we have a new segment on the show that we're going to talk about upcoming concerts because there's so many great live acts coming through, and kind of the inspiration for this, like many things we do on the show, is Julie Warren, and Julie Warren was kind enough to send the things to do in Bloomington.
Yes.
This weekend, and Sunday night is Gary Allen. So if you're a country fan, man, we're talking the good country from the 90s and the early 2000s. Gary Allen was a big part of that. So Sunday night, he'll be at the Indiana University Auditorium. $35 to $65 will get you in the door. So check out the auditorium's website to see on ticket availability. But, Jim, I've got a bunch here that I'm just going to run through. You can tell me if anything piques your interest.
Okay.
And we'll also remind people that our sister station, 92.3 WTTS, FM.com. Go to WTTSFM.com and check out their concert connection for all of the amazing shows
mm-hmm.
that WTTS is responsible for bringing to our area. But tomorrow night is Vince Gill in Evansville. And then if you miss him tomorrow night, you can go Sunday night and catch Vince Gill in Fort Wayne. Again, Gary Allen is here on Sunday night. Brian Wilson is at the Murat on Sunday night. Next Wednesday, Jim Snoop Dogg will be laying it down at
Snoop
White River
Dogg.
State Park. And then on the 28th, next Friday, you've got, this is great. I mean, I love this here. You can only pick one, Jim.
Yes.
But if you want to jump in the, if you want to jump in the station wagon, you can catch Leonard Skinner in Merrillville. You can check out Cool and the Gang. He's got the gang, too, not just Cool. Cool and the Gang at the Hammond Horseshoe and then the Oak Ridge Boys at the Anderson Hoosier Park Racing Track. So you've got some end of the tours happening, I would say. On the 29th, next weekend, Saturday night, Jim, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, our favorite country couple, will be at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I saw them in that same summer, I think, of 2000. They were mm-hmm. excellent back then. I'm sure they're still great. How about this one? I know this one is on your list, but on Tuesday, May 2nd, Blues Traveler, yes, the Blues
yes.
Traveler, with John Popper on the harmonica, mm-hmm. Will be here at the Bluebird. I don't know if you can still even get tickets to that one. That one might be sold out, but check out the Bluebird's website, and that's also a WTTS-FM show, so check out the concert connection on that one. Other shows coming up in the Indianapolis area, Indigo Girls, Soundgarden, lots of great ones there. And then into May, on Saturday the 13th, a huge one at Clips to open the season there. Tom Petty will be there. I've not seen him. On the 18th, Chili Peppers, as I said, at Banker's Life. A week later, on the 26th, Neil Diamond will be bringing Sweet Caroline and the whole group to mm-hmm. Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The next day, the 27th, is Indianapolis Motor Speedway, IMS. We'll have Keith Urban, and then our own Clayton Anderson will be a part of that with
cool.
Opening for Keith Urban. And then we'll finish up the month of May with Nora Jones at the Murat. So a little bit of everything for everyone's taste. Across the area, but what you've got some local stuff too.
You bet. If you don't want to leave Bloomington, Mary Wilson from the Supremes is going to be at the Buskirk Chumley next weekend on the 30th. Bella Fleck and Abigail Washburn, mid-May, May 13th. This one is definitely sold out. Chris Christopherson, An Evening with the Man, May 21st at the Buskirk Chumley. And then you mentioned Blues Traveler at the Bluebird. Hairbangers Ball comes to town next weekend at the Bluebird, one of your personal favorites, I know. And it's been a year since the man, Prince, passed away unexpectedly. The Prince Experience is coming to the Bluebird on May 19th. And then wrapping up the end of May, first part of June, not concert, but comedy. The Limestone Comedy Festival
absolutely.
Is awesome, and that's coming in just a few weeks. So,
well, I'll tell you, I told you that Foo Fighters concert was great, but part of that concert was John Popper came out and did two songs with the Foo Fighters, and boy, he is just magic. On that harmonica, he can just make it happen.
I saw him a year or two ago up at Conner Prairie Symphony on the Prairie.
Oh, neat.
And they wrapped up their show with Runaround,
yes,
of course.
With the big
and
one.
It's 20-plus years since he sang it, so it's still... It's got a little age to it for the most part, but it was more interesting to hear the 1,000-plus people in the symphony area, the prairie area, I should say, singing along with him.
And making up the words like I
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because of that song, John Popper's grandkids will never have to work.
This is true.
Yep.
This is true. We, however, are going to work for you a little bit more.
Oh,
we've
my
got
goodness.
Sports coming up in just a couple minutes, so stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, Dr. Piller, the floor is yours on the sports scene.
Jim, what an absolute disaster for the Indianapolis Pacers.
You're not talking about our show, are you?
Someone probably should do a wellness check on Doug Hughes.
Yeah, I texted him. I haven't heard back from him.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. And that's because the Indianapolis Pacers blew the largest playoff halftime playoff lead in the history of the NBA. A 25-point deficit, the largest halftime margin ever overcome in a postseason game. Cavs beat the Pacers 119-113. They are now up 3-0 in the first round series, and I believe they play again tomorrow. But my goodness gracious, the Pacers have never ever been swept out of the playoffs. That likely will happen, unless it's the NBA and it's fixed and they stretch it out another game. But, oh, my goodness, what a disaster. And you think about that, Jim, 25 points. That means, basically, you're looking at 12 to 14 possessions where the other team scores and you get nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how you blow a lead like that. And it's just a disaster. LeBron James finished with 41 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists, along with two blocks, for the 17th triple-double of his postseason career. He also, this is interesting, a great stat, he scored or assisted on 73 points, the most in a playoff game for his career as well. So that's a pretty impressive run. And also the thing that's crazy is that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, who are two of the best players in the NBA, much less on the Cavs, did not even play in the fourth quarter during this rally comeback victory because everything was going so well. Tyronn Lue from the Cavs said, "We're not going to touch this because it's going well." So good for him for not messing that up. Tough loss for the Pacers. Stick a fork in them. They're done this year, and it's there's got to be some changes. And I don't know if that means trading Paul George and getting a high draft pick or committing to Paul George with a long-term contract and a ton of money. But you can't keep running out this same group, and it wasn't pretty last night. So yuck. Yuck is what I'll say to that. Continuing with some news out of the Indianapolis sports scene, the Colts have released their 2017 regular season schedule. They'll kick off week one, most likely right here on WGCL, but we will get that confirmed later. And they will be playing the Los Angeles Rams. It'll be the first time the Colts have played in Los Angeles against the Rams since September 17th of 1989. Woo. This will be the first game for the Colts in the LA market since 1991 when they played the Raiders there. But a 4 o'clock start will take the Colts and the Rams. Week two, the Colts will return home to take on the Cardinals. Bruce Arians, former Colts interim coach, will be back for a Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff. They're at home. Also, home games include the Browns, the 49ers, the Jaguars, the Steelers, the Titans, the Broncos, and the Texans. So not the greatest, most palatable home schedule I've ever heard as a season ticket holder, but Broncos and Steelers will at least be decent games. That Broncos game is a Thursday night game. They play on Saturday, December 23rd, and then they play on Sunday, December 31st. So those will be your holiday ticket type gift ticket things. They play Sunday after Thanksgiving at home against the Titans at 1 o'clock. The bye week is week 11. Road games against the Bengals, Titans, Texans. We said the Rams already, Seahawks, and Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens finish off the road schedule. So not a terribly hard schedule looking at it on paper. Not a terribly competitive division ever that the AFC South is. So I think the Colts will have added a lot of defense. We'll see if Andrew Luck is healed after coming clean on some surgeries and some injuries he has had. And yeah, see what happens. I don't know. Big thing tonight, as we've said several times already, the Reds are on the radio playing the Chicago Cubs, 7:10 first pitch with the Cubbies and the Reds tonight. Battle for first place over the weekend. So we'll see what happens with that. And then we got IU baseball, 19-15-2. I went last weekend. It was nice. Beautiful field, beautiful event. As always, the soft pretzels are the best in the business. So keep it up, boys. They got absolutely bombed by Minnesota. But then they won the next 2 days and then took the series against the first-place Golden Gophers, which is very cool. Lost to Butler on Wednesday. They're playing this weekend in Ann Arbor against Michigan. Then play they play against Ball State at the Victory Field, which is always a very cool event. And then they're back home next weekend, 28-30, against Maryland. Just looks odd that Maryland is a Big Ten game, but they are back for that. So check out Hoosier Baseball over at Kauffman Stadium, one of the best best college baseball parks. Really a cool experience. And again, soft pretzels. I'm not going to steer you wrong on this one. Check out IU Softball also over there. And as I preach every time I get the chance, don't forget about your local IHSA athletes at Edgewood, North, South, and also in the listening area with Owen Valley, Bedford, Martinsville, and Brown County. Tons and tons of awesome high school student-athletes working hard, and go out and see them play. It's a great investment, great family-friendly fun, and take your little ones out there so they can see what it's like to perform on the field.
We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up the show. Stay with us. Two minutes left in the program, Dr. Pillar.
Two minutes.
Jesse Hines used to say.
Friday night, 50% chance of showers. Cloudy, low around 43 tonight. Saturday, showers likely mainly before 2 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 52. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers mainly before 8. Mostly cloudy with a low around 42. But Sunday is going to be the day that kicks it off, Jim. Sunny, 69. How about next week? I'm looking at the forecast right now, real time. Monday, 73. Tuesday, 77. And how about this, Jim? Next Friday, Saturday, there's some chances of some rain, but 82 and 85 for highs.
Jeez.
Woo, my goodness. And it's still April. All your weather, all the time, WGCLradio.com.
Thanks again for everybody tuning in for the full hour with Dr. Pillar and myself.
That is a lot of us. Let's be honest. That is a lot of us time. So if you've changed the channel, we understand.
No,
we
don't.
You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it.
We're better at the end than the beginning.
Well, there you go.
Hopefully in the next week or so, we'll have Donald Griffin on and his wife. They are the city champions for Bloomington's Lemonade Day, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks. And also have reached out to the Bloomington lady, Julie Warren, because her world is changing a little bit.
Is this breaking? Oh, it's not breaking anymore.
No.
All right.
Julie Warren is going to be leaving her role at Visit Bloomington after 12 years.
Like, what are we going to call her then from now on?
She's always going to be the Bloomington lady.
Yeah, I think that's probably okay.
That's just who she is. But if she goes into the podcast world or something like that, we'll have to see if we'll have to claim her as our own.
Yes, and we need a reason to have her on the show so my mom will continue to listen.
Yes.
Because otherwise, there's no chance.
Definitely happen. So we'll be hopefully able to attend her retirement party, if you will.
Man, that sounds so amazing.
Wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be?
I keep playing the Powerball, Jim.
Everybody, please be safe this weekend with Little 500.
Yeah, we got Bloomington South Prom this weekend, too.
Oh, goodness.
So we want all of them to be safe and make good decisions and all that stuff like that.
Even if you're yelling at the kids in the car driving the wrong direction, remember, they're somebody's babies.
Yep, that's right.
So please be nice to them.
Cubs and Reds, Jim.
That's right. Your Money with David Hayes, Saturday morning, if you're catching us on the replay. Have a good weekend. Thank you, Dr. Pillar.
See you, buddy.
Bye, everybody.